tobogganing.
Oh, Jesus.
Welcome to Radio Free School.
It feels like a crazy carpet to go sled in, but like on the sleigh it's really fast, but I sometimes have to cover my eyes and do you know, once when we were going down on the sled, then Daddy and me, all these people were walking and some people were going down the hill on sleighs and some people were walking by, and then Daddy and me came down and the people who were on the sleighs were not as fast as Daddy and me, and we almost crashed into them.
Okay,
and
so
the people, and some people, we were this like talking and walking, they were talking and they saw the sleigh, they looked, and then they kept on talking, and they looked, and then kept on talking. But when the sleigh came nearer, like the sleigh was this near, when it came this near, then they ran out of the way.
Oh, Jesus.
So what are some of your favorite things to go tobogganing on?
Oh, sleighs, because I can crash, because we can sometimes make people run out of the way when we need them to.
How about crazy carpet?
Oh, crazy carpet makes me tip off sometimes when, but I never tried going on my belly, and if I try going on my belly, then I'll be putting my face down out in the snow. So I do not like going on bellies, you know.
Do you like to go really, really, really fast?
Yeah, but sometimes but this is a crazy carpet, a really fun crazy carpet. Like you push the crazy carpet down and then you make a smooth space and then you get down and you go in your belly without the crazy carpet and then you slide down without the crazy carpet and then it's really fast because you're on your belly and the crazy carpet made like a space for you to roll down.
Mm-hmm. So is it one of your favorite things about winter then?
Tobogganing is both. And besides, can I tape you now?
You ready?
No, not yet. Okay. Now I'm ready.
Are you ready? Okay.
An invention that influenced Aboriginal winter travel was the toboggan. The word toboggan is borrowed from the Mi'kmaq word tobaggan. The original toboggan design was created by the Mi'kmaq people of eastern Canada. Originally, these toboggans were made of bark and animal skins. Toboggans were constructed of long, thin strips of wood, usually cedar, over 2 meters long. They were used principally by hunters and trappers to transport food and furs. Toboggans were ideal for hauling heavy loads in deep snow. The curved front allowed the toboggan to ride easily over mounds and bumps. Although it was not as widely distributed among First Nations as the snowshoe, it made it possible for First Nations in the subarctic, including the Swampy Cree, Ojibwe, Algonquin, and Innu, to transport heavy loads across deep snow.
Radio Free School on CFMU.
Toboggan's rational or theoretical basis, scientifically speaking, is load distribution as a form of adaptation to the force of gravity. Distributing weight over a broader area allows for greater flexibility and is to move a heavy object, the load versus a simple point load. This is evidenced in Aboriginal inventions, for example, the snowshoe or a toboggan. They're not. So what happened? Yeah.
To wipe? And I wiped out and I was lying in the snow. My crazy carpet went down the hill more. Some people ride on inflatable things. Some people ride on crazy carpet like us. Some people ride on sleighs.
Flying saucers.
Her favorite.
Flying saucers?
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
What else? I saw some people getting a piece of wood.
Yeah. They hated being in the front because it was so dangerous. They were like, I don't want to be on the front. I was already on the front. Me too. They're all fighting over who got to go in the back. Or at least the middle they fought. I think at least the middle would be safe than the front, because the front, you fall off the end. Cause they were trying to go down on wood. They were going down on a piece of wood.
All right, ready?
Okay. It's okay.
Daddy, can you move the camera?
No, it's fine.
My name's Daniel Knapp. I'm studying physics in the physics department at McMaster University and doing my PhD there. And I study a phenomenon called superconductivity, which has to do with how electrons behave in various materials. Well, when the toboggan's going down the hill, the obvious force is gravity, and that's what causes you to accelerate and move down the hill fast and gain speed the further you go. And the other forces that are acting on you are friction between the toboggan and the snow, and then air resistance from the air flowing past you as you go faster down the hill. And I guess one way to think about gravity in the sense that it acts as you go down a hill is if you just imagine jumping off a ledge, you go down very fast, whereas when you're going down a hill, you're also going sideways as well, so it partly spreads out that acceleration, so you don't go as fast as if you just jumped off a ledge, but you're sort of slowed down by the hill because it's at an angle, and so the force that's acting on you is less than it would be if there was nothing underneath you. So the hill in a sense pushes you up but also pushes you forward, so you slide down the hill. There are three forces acting on you as you go down the hill, and one is gravity, which pulls you straight down. Another is the force of the hill, which pushes straight out from the hill, so perpendicular to the surface of the hill. And the other one is friction, which acts against your motion. And if you add all the forces up, there's a force which basically accelerates you down the hill. The basic definition of a force in physics is any kind of force causes you to accelerate. So if you have a constant force, you have a constant acceleration. And an acceleration is a change in your speed over time. So the force due to gravity is constant. So as you're going down the hill, you're constantly being accelerated by gravity, and so you'll go faster and faster and faster. And the things that slow you down are the friction between the toboggan, the snow, and the air resistance. And the air resistance gets greater and greater the faster you go. You've probably noticed that if you're on a bike or if you're running, the faster you go, the more force you feel from the air pressing against you. And so if there was no friction, you would just accelerate and go faster and faster and faster. But because of the friction, you eventually reach a maximum velocity, which is called terminal velocity, where you stop accelerating. And at that point, all of the forces are balanced. And so there's no net force anymore. There are just a balance of forces, and so you don't accelerate anymore, and your velocity stays constant. You could toboggan on the moon, but the moon's a lot smaller, and so the force of gravity would be less, because the force of gravity, it basically acts between any two objects which have mass. And so there's even a force of gravity between, you know, myself and you, but it's incredibly weak because we don't weigh very much. Our mass is small. Whereas the Earth has a very large mass, and so it exerts a very powerful force of gravity on any object that has mass that's on the Earth. The moon is smaller and has less mass than... I mean, it doesn't so much matter that it's smaller, it matters more that it has less mass than the Earth. And so the force that it exerts on someone standing on the moon is a lot less than if you were standing on Earth. So you could still toboggan, you just wouldn't go as fast because the acceleration would be less. But then at the same time, there's also less air resistance, so maybe you could pick up more speed if you went for a long time. You found a big enough hill. And obviously, as anyone that's been on a toboggan hill knows, any different kinds of sleds go faster. And the basic idea is, if you're looking at snow or ice, I mean, the question is why? Why is ice so slippery, and why do we move so fast when we go down a hill that's covered with snow? Whereas if the hill's covered with grass or dirt, it's not very much fun to toboggan on because the friction's too big and you don't go down it very quickly. Ice in and of itself isn't so slippery, but how it works is that every bit of ice on the surface has a very thin layer of water, and so when you slip across a piece of ice, what you're actually sliding on is a very thin layer of water that's on top of the ice. One way to think about that, which is a bit of a general way of thinking about it, is that ice is made up of a bunch of molecules of water, water molecules, and if you imagine the ice being packed, all these water molecules being packed together into ice, they're kind of like a bunch of little balls that are all crowded around each other. So if you look at one ball, inside the ice, it's surrounded by other little balls of water, little water molecules, and so it can't move around very much. But if you look on the surface, then each molecule of ice has air above it and ice below it, and it can move around a lot more easily. And it's kind of like if you can imagine a surface of balls, and those balls can move around a lot more easily on the surface because they aren't being blocked from motion like the ones inside in the very interior where they're completely surrounded by other molecules, and so every direction they go in, there's something in the way. But on the surface, there's only something in the way if you go in certain directions, and so what actually happens is that even at very, very cold temperatures, well below zero, there's a very, very thin layer of water on the surface of ice. So whenever we go skating or whatever, we go tobogganing on the snow, there's always this very thin layer of water that helps us slide along the ice very quickly. Friction is really very important in tobogganing because you think that in some ways friction is a bad thing because you don't get to go as fast because of friction. But then at the same time, you couldn't get up the hill if there was no friction because you'd be trying to walk up the hill, and the only way to go up is to have some kind of a force that would oppose gravity. And if there was no friction, you would just slip and slide and you would never be able to get up the hill. So you need enough friction to get up the hill, but not too much to go really fast when you go down. People obviously do things like this. They push the toboggan at the beginning to go faster. And that just gives you a faster starting speed. And so, you know, you just start off at a faster speed and then you start accelerating. And instead of accelerating from, you know, a velocity of zero, you accelerate from a higher velocity. So you end up going faster as you go down the hill. If you've ever watched the Olympics when they have the bobsledding teams, and they always start off by giving the sled as hard a push as they can at the beginning, because then they get to the bottom faster, so you definitely get down there faster. I'm not sure. It would depend on the hill and everything else to know how much faster it would be.
You guys, we have to all go down together.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Yeah.
You just flipped. He, like, got his leg around my neck somehow, and that was at my neck. Like,
I was gonna...
Oh!
Oh! Oh! Oh!
I hope I got that on tape. Nice one. That's a good time rolling down the hill on its side. Oh my god, it's Isabel. Yeah.
Oh my god. It's real. I flew off my
Oh my god.
I meant to do that.
Put your finger in the air, in the air. Put your finger in the air, in the air. Put your finger in the air and leave it about a year. Put your finger in the air, in the air. Put your finger on your head, on your head. Put your finger on your head, on your head. Put your finger on your head, tell me is it green or red? Put your finger on your head, on your head. Put your finger on your nose, on your nose. Put your finger on your nose, on your nose. Put your finger on your nose and feel cold and low. Put your finger on your nose. Put your finger on your shoe, on your shoe. Put your finger on your shoe, on your shoe. Put your finger on your shoe and leave it there too. Put your finger on your shoe, on your shoe. Put your finger on your chin, on your chin. Put your finger on your chin, on your chin. Put your finger on your chin, that's where the food slips in. Put your finger on your chin, on your chin. Put your finger on your cheek, on your cheek. Put your finger on your cheek, on your cheek. Put your finger on your cheek and leave it about a week. Put your finger on your cheek, on your cheek. Put your finger on your finger, on your finger. Put your finger on your finger, on your finger. Put your finger on your finger and your finger on your finger. Put your finger on your finger, on your finger. Put your fingers all together, all together. Put your fingers all together, all together. Put your fingers all together, cold and dark, stormy weather. Put your fingers all together.
Oh, I'm going to ride on the flying festoon. I'll jump on his back and I'll whistle a tune. And we'll fly to the outermost tip of the moon. The flying festoon and I'm taking a sandwich, a ball, and a prune. And we're leaving this evening, precisely at noon, 'cause I'm going to fly with the flying festoon. Just as soon as he learns how to fly.
Book review.
Book review.
Book review.
Book review.
Book review. Book review. Book
review. I'm Madeline. I'm gonna read the Good Times Travel Agency Adventures in Ancient Greece. The Binkitins. Always get in trouble. They always have a secret, but it always goes out. They always get attempted to come in to the Good Times Travel Agency store and get a book. When they open it, then there's a terrible, wonderful flash, and then they're out of where they were, and they're in ancient Greece, or the Vikings, or ancient China, anywhere they could go. It's hardly time traveling at all, Emma. What could go wrong? What could go right? Customers, come in and come in. No time like the present. You can say that again. We want to go forward in time, sir, to the next Olympic Games.
every 4 years. The Olympic Gate. Libby! Josh opens the book, and then they're in the middle of a battlefield. Ancient Greece. In the middle of the battlefield, it's very dangerous. So if you're watching one, don't try not to get in the middle. This is a battlefield. What are we doing here? I don't believe it. We're in ancient Greece where the Olympics first began. Libby's right here saying, come on and fight. I hate it when this happens. This is really going to hurt. This is going to hurt. This is really going to hurt. I think they're leaving. You must cease your fighting until the Olympic Games are over. I love this guy. We learned the food, how the ships are. In the Viking one, they like to fight, and they let people in case it might happen to them.
Good Times Travel Agency Adventures with Series is a fantastic way to introduce ancient cultures and history to your kids. Thank you, Grandma, for the one on ancient China you gave Evelina as a Christmas present, setting the stage for some wildly funny and entertaining trips back in time, because that's exactly what happens to free kids each time they set foot in the Good Times Travel Agency. The Binkertons, twins and their younger sister, just don't seem to be able to stay away from the place. They pick up a guidebook there, there's a blinding flash, and zoom! They find themselves in ancient Egypt or China or Greece or in the days of the Viking. They usually end up in mortal danger and need to escape. And the only way to get back home is to read through the entire guide, cover to cover. So we get to meet the ancients, the clothes they wore, the food they enjoyed, the work they did, or did not do, if you were emperor. The way the community was organized, the way it was run. Did you know that democracy began in ancient Greece? Well, only for citizens, which excluded women, slaves, and foreigners. Or that the Olympic Games were played in the nude, by men only, of course. We encounter the inventions that were made by the Chinese. They invented paper, silk, the wheel, noodles. Or that the Vikings visited North America 500 years before Christopher Columbus, sailing over oceans without the aid of charts or instruments. Well, the Binkertons always manage to get back in the nick of time so far, and they always vow they'll never set foot in that agency again. But as a proprietor of this extraordinary establishment is known to say, never? Oh, that's a very long time. Books are written by Linda Bailey and illustrated by Bill Slavin in bright, clear cartoon format. Book is published by Kids Can Press.
Myself in paper. I'm gonna daub myself with glue. Stick some stamps on the top of my head. I'm gonna mail myself to you.
Contact Radio Free School at grassroots@hwcn.org or mail P.O. Box 19, 1280 Main Street West, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L8S1C. Oh.